Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Something happening here, what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out, and you can't make us run. Those Muslim old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, and we say no. Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive.
Country folks can survive.
I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive.
Country folks can survive.
North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive.
Country folks can survive.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this broadcast for a serious emergency notification. First off, don't panic, because we can get through this. There has been a confirmed sighting of an Australian running amok in the United States of America. The invasion has begun. I've seen him drive. And I wasn't even in the car, but I had my foot on the imaginary brake pedal, and I had my fingers on the dash. So with that said, there were no drop bears. I repeat, there were no drop bears that followed this Australian into America. Cultus, are you there?
Hello, sir.
Do you mean us any harm?
I'm a peace and loving alien.
Alright, sorry about that.
It's so good, brother.
There is a confirmed sighting. Cultus is in America. The Australian invasion has begun. Somebody in the chat room, I was trying not to freaking laugh. Somebody in the chat room was talking about Obama's going to nuke Russia.
Well, you and I.
Well, I put a message in there. We got an emergency broadcast coming up. It is an emergency. We have literally got an Australian within the borders of the United States, and he has been driving.
I know. They just let me in, and they just let me drive the car, and like I'm just gunning it up the street there, you know, going 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, and I saw you hit that chuck hole. And I also saw Shannon trying to apologize to some lady in another car saying, oh, he's from Australia.
Yeah, I've got to pull out of a very, very quiet car park and immediately gone straight to the left-hand side of the driveway to turn out.
Oh, I didn't carry that over very well because I couldn't breathe. I was trying to keep from laughing while I was trying to say Oh, man, the Australian invasion, man. All right.
It has begun. Do not panic. Stay in your homes.
Yeah, do not
Stay
be afraid.
Stay off the streets.
No drop All bears.
The ground is behind the wheel.
No drop bears made it through. Just stay off the sidewalk. Stay up in the trees, and you will be safe. Okay?
I don't know. If that drop bear managed to smuggle his way into my suitcase, you might not want to be up in the trees.
Oh, well, stay out of the trees.
Just stay in your homes.
Oh, man. Oh, did you find that link that I was telling you about?
I did, and I started to watch a bit, but our mighty King Shaziz, he plays the music way too loud on Skype while we're...
Yeah, I was trying to mask the laughter so that you wouldn't hear me. Anyway, getting down to business. So you're listening to Shaziz Mad Science. We got Cultus on there. And who else we got in here? We got Mitko. Yay!
Mitko.
Cultus and Mitko. All right. Well, anyway, doggone it. It's Missouri Wind and Solar. He put a video out here recently of a device that somebody brought to him to share. And essentially, it's a three-phase electric motor turned into a generator. And what it does is it takes one of the phases off of there, and you run it off 110 volts AC, and it puts out more voltage than you're getting. So I've seen this done before, and actually one particular individual who actually designed the very first one of those kind of got himself in a little bit of a trouble because the power company tried to say that he was stealing electricity, which he wasn't. I mean, he was paying for the electricity that he was using. However, he was getting more electricity out of the deal. Yep. There. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, yeah, the device that he's talking about is a functional, fully working device. It's been around for at least 15 to 20 years that I know of. And, it will work. He put some permanent magnets inside there and turned it into a combination motor / generator head is what he did. And so with that said, it's worth looking into, because if you can run it off of solar, some solar panels and a charge controller to get out 110 volts AC enough to run this right here, then you can actually produce more electricity than you're basically getting from the solar, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Like a boost device.
Yeah, that's all it is, essentially an amplifier. If you look on my my Electron videos,
that's what I was trying to think of, the Electron generator you've got there.
Yeah, those red line generators are 12 volts to 120 volts at 500 watts apiece. Now, these have been around for a long time. They actually use these on telephone trucks so that whenever the power is down or whatever, you know, at nighttime they'll be able to light up them power lines, because for obvious reasons you want as much lighting as you can possibly get your hands on, so that you're not grabbing the wrong thing in the dark, see. But they've had these around for years, and you can actually Google them, Redline, and you can find these generators. And so, you know, with that said, essentially that is a lesser version of what the generator is that he's showing on Missouri Wind and Solar. I'd like to get him on the radio show if we could, so that I could tell him a few things, because he is on the right track. I mean, you do have to have 120 volts AC to run into it in order to get it to work, but it's the same exact principle by which them redline generators work.
Well, we do have a direct contact to Missouri Wind and Solar, and that would be Muddy Muddy Mudman. So we're only one step away.
Well, if you can get Muddy to contact him and get him on the show, we can work this all out, and I can tell him exactly how he can get this thing to do more than what he wants.
Awesome.
Anyway, that's one of the other benefits of virtual labs coming up there, man, is things like that. If they were, you know, jumping in there with that particular device, I mean, we could all jump in there and show them how to tweak it out to be real good. There's also methods by which you can actually tune electric motors via capacitors where they do not drain so much energy as they're being used. So a finely tuned motor via the capacitors, you wouldn't drain nearly as much AC current as you would normally just running it direct, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I have a buddy named Jim. He's in the computer world, but he also tinkers around in alternative energy, and I've seen some of his work on tuning motors, and it's pretty impressive what he can get it to. You can watch the actual amperage drop as you use this thing, in order to get the thing to run off of less energy than it was normally designed to run on. Wake up, we got dead air. Is that drop bear on your back?
Hey, mate.
Do I have to go back into my emergency broadcast?
You have to send me a big stick.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have an Australian running amok within the borders of the United States of America. Stay off the sidewalk. Stay out of the trees, because there may have been. We haven't confirmed, but we do have a confirmed sighting of the Australian. Or we don't have a confirmed sighting of any drop bears.
I swear, I did not smuggle a drop bear into the country. It's not true. Don't listen to him.
When I saw you driving, brother, I had like my hand over my eyes and I'm peeking through my fingers, and I'm like, oh God, they drive on the wrong side of the road in Australia. I hope he can remember which side's right side of the road.
Come on, let's be fair and honest. I did good.
Well, you know, I say you did all, you did all right.
I did good. Come on. Surely, man, I can drive anything.
You got from point A to point B without any scuffs. You did hit
exactly.
A chuck hole, but
I did hit the hole, but that's you know, negligible, dude. Like, you know, they're like, we discussed this last night when I rang you up, and you have very, very gospel roads here. They're all holy.
Yeah, they are, and my tax dollars put that hole in the road.
I know, dude. That's even sadder.
You're welcome. Yeah, sometimes I've had times whenever you can literally blow a tire out with a chuck hole out here, and I'm like, you know, where's all our tax money going? Fat cat sitting up there eating caviar while I got to freaking sit on the side of the road trying to figure out how to patch my tire.
Mm-hmm. See, in Australia, if a road's really, really bad and you have no other option but to travel that road, so say it's your own street, you can actually send a bill to your local council and have them pay for your suspension and tires.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Moving to Australia. Could you imagine?
No, don't.
Could you imagine the drama that would unfold if an American was to land in Australia? You think we had emergency broadcast now, boy.
Imagine if just is landing in Australia. The National Guard would meet him at the airport.
And so you got to turn around and go back where you came from, because we didn't have none of that.
So I do have to point out one thing, though. Like, the TSA wasn't as friendly as we thought they'd be.
They weren't?
They weren't as friendly.
Oh, that kind of friendly.
Yeah, they just, man, to be quite honest, I'd hate to know what kind of folk you all let into this country.
Oh, man. Because,
like, all they did was cite my passport. They scanned my fingerprints. They had me fill out a declaration on the plane of what I was bringing into the country. And they asked me, like, three questions, pretty much. Like, where are you staying? How long are you staying for? And what are these items you've brought into the country for? And that was it. They scooted me in the door and just pushed us all through, mate.
Well,
so,
you know why, don't you?
Why?
Because you're not American. They only beat the hell out of Americans.
Ah, right.
They beat the hell out of and groped the Americans, and everybody gets in all right. It's cool.
It's that Pacific trade agreement, see? They're trading me off.
Can you add remedy to your call?
I most certainly can. Where is the bugger?
Yeah, he's in there somewhere.
For remedy. There we go.
We got to tell him you're in America. Oh, yeah,
Should have said it. We're walking down the street there, about to go and get my hair cut, and fella's walking down the other side of the road towards us, and he's like, howdy, mate. And I'm like, he goes, howdy. And I'm like, g'day, mate. Should have seen him take two steps back, brother. we went out for dinner, and the girls are like, pay them with Australian money. So we got the little book there with the bill in it, and I whipped out a $100 note from Australia, and I slipped it in the book there, and I just handed it to him. There you go, mate. You know, like, and he's wanted it off, and he's opened it up, and he's like, you saw him like stare at it for a second, and he's like walked up to his manager, and he's had a natter with his manager, and he's walked back over. He said, sorry, we can't accept this. And I'm like, and I already had the American $100 in my hand. I'm like, yeah, dude. It's all right. We're just having a play. But in Walmart, when we pulled the same trick, right? The dude was like, oh, what's this? Is this a new one? Oh, wow, that's pretty fancy. And he was about to stick it in the till. I had to stop him and be like, no, dude, that's Australian dollars. I was just having a lend you. Here you go. Hello, Remedy.
Hey, Remedy, you there, brother?
His microphone is still not hooked up.
Oh, he's still hooking up his mic.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's all good.
You slacker. Man.
Oh, totally.
God, if we could get Remedy over here, this country would never be the same. Two Australians and one America. Oh,
you
want to
talk about people getting met by the National Guard when they arrive?
Yeah, we get Metco and Remedy over here. We got a party.
It would be an awesome deal if we were all in one place, mate. That's one of my ultimate goals. If you know, I deal in that whole cryptocurrency thing. If you know, if we manage to become rich, you know, we'll certainly look at getting a few people over here and maybe making a bit of a, you know.
Well, I'm anxious for you to get over here in my lab because I got some things to show you, man.
Not long, brother. Not long. Yeah, still have Dame Shane actually just woke up a little while ago. The slacker.
Oh wow, she didn't hear the whole warning, emergency.
No. She'll hear it later on in the pod.
Yeah, man. So all you Americans out there, do not panic. Do not panic. It's
always well. Peace. I come in peace. I swear, I come in peace. Don't listen to Shaziz.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
that's a given there, brother. Oh, man. So anyway, back on that other generator thing, man. That thing that, oh, doggone it, done slipped my mind who I said. Missouri Wind and Solar, the device that he put the video out on there. That is a functioning device, and there is a patent on that particular device. And it's not new. It does work. However, you know, depending on whatever area you're in, depending on how much trouble you'll get in with your local power company, because they kind of frown on you using their energy to create more energy. And that's what I said this several radio shows back, probably a year ago almost. But I was talking about that particular story where that individual, they come out and raided his meter, and his meter wasn't showing enough that would run this house. What he was doing, he was using one outlet to run the generator and the other portion to, he had two breakers in his house. The one that fed off the power line, and then he run the generator off of the one that fed off the power line, and that's all the energy he paid for. But he was running the entire house off of his generating system. And they were like, well, you're stealing electricity because there's no way you could be running that entire house off of this amount of electricity. And so they took him to court. And
there's always a way around things like that, though. You know, this day and age, we've got solar, we've got wind generation, and, you know, you've always got your old generator there. So we can effectively not even include drawing from the power company. You could... Set yourself up a system whereby you were using solar or wind or generator, as I said, and power the device with that. And,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, and if it is truly putting out more than it's.
It definitely is, without a doubt.
I have never understood why people say you can't have a closed loop system. That just totally bewilders me. There always has to be a way to loop it back. So. You could effectively make this self-powering.
Well, if it's any consolation, he did win the court case because he didn't steal anything. He paid his bill on time, and he was paying for the electricity that he used. However, the power company worked some sort of arrangement out with him so that he would not tell anyone else, that basically like a gag order, so he would not tell anyone else how to do that. So they worked a deal out with him, but this particular individual, I'm pretty sure, stumbled onto that same patent and figured that out.
Exactly.
But I'm in agreement with you that I believe there is a possibility, potential for a closed loop system. I've been saying that all the time.
Even Tin Man said that just now in the chat, being the delay. So I got in first, Tin Man.
See that? The Australians, they come here and they take over.
Yeah, I'm running for presidency next week.
All right, I'll vote. Cultist for president. Oh, man.
These guys are God.
Anyway, yeah. Go ahead, Mikko.
How big was the death motor?
It was a three-phase AC motor that he modified, put permanent magnets inside.
Yeah, but
it was about the size of Shaziz's head.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
No. How big? What is the wattage on that motor?
I'm not sure. You'd have to watch the video and see. I didn't get all the information, but regardless, you can turn any AC motor into a generator if you want to take the time to mount the magnets up inside there. And so with that said, what you get out of it, you know, is going to probably depend on the stator or whatever inside. But it does work. The redline generators prove it. I mean, you can go out to Google and search up redline generators. You'll find out that these things are pretty doggone expensive. However, like Cultus was saying, if you was to run this off of solar, you got 120 volts AC at 500 watts just for the units that I got. They've actually got bigger ones. But you got 120 volts AC at 500 watts that you can run your AC appliances on. So, you know, with that said, you know, the potential's there. Did Remedy get his microphone on yet?
Yeah, I did.
Hey,
you know what, Remedy?
How's home?
What's going on, guys?
Remedy, how's brother?
Remedy, you're late. Late.
Nah, mate. She sank.
She sank? Oh.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord for that.
You mean you got...
I'm swimming. Swimming around, you know.
Swimming around, man. You're floating, floating your laptop on an esky and just, like, kicking back and
forth.
On the blob mattress. Got the esky beside you with the laptop on it.
Sounds like you got out in the nick of time, Cultus.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Does Remedy know what we're talking about?
No, I have no freaking clue.
Remedy, we just had an emergency broadcast, all right? This is serious. You brace yourself because we don't want you getting scared or nothing. We have had a confirmed sighting of an Australian within the borders of the United States of America.
Oh, God.
We are under invasion right now as we speak.
You know, I knew it was going to happen one of these days. You know, my best advice for everybody is just, you know, try and bear through it, you know. It's going to be tough. I believe he's going to do it. Just hold on. So, well,
but if it's any consolation, he swears he came in peace and no drop bears followed him.
Yeah, no, that's right. I saw the Vegemite trail all the way to the airport. They did not follow him.
Well, that wasn't Vegemite, dude.
And then, boy, you got to see a doctor.
He said he woke up in the middle of the night and I woke up in the morning, felt like hell. He's all sore and everything. I said, maybe that drop bear snuck in and beat the crap out of you.
Yeah. Just point of warning for anyone flying through Sydney with a long stopover, right? The airport hotel, really cheap, but nasty, right? Like, my toilet was 3 feet from my bed, no door.
Oh, gross.
I'm so glad there was no one staying on you with me. Imagine that in the morning with the morning
call. Oh, you would have a splash bag. You'd have a splash bag. You'd be woken up and think you're like, it's raining, and it's like, oh man!
Come on!
They should at least have like a little rain shield or something, you know, like stop the sprinkles. Because I mean, if you went in there with a black light, you know, one of those like UV lights, oh, that room would light up fluorescent white, wouldn't it?
Oh,
yeah.
So if we could get Remedy over here, if we could get Remedy over here, and we could get Mitko over here, we'd have a party, man.
Well, that's it.
There's a party happening.
I know, but I'm saying, you know, we're going to take the two wildest Australians that I know of, and Mitko, where are you at? You in Russia?
Bulgaria.
He's in Bulgaria.
Russia.
Okay, so we're going to have a Bulgarian and two Australians and one crazy American. Imagine how much trouble we could get in. We'd all get...
No, God will just surround your property for the world.
We'd all get deported. Including me.
They're just going to put Shaziz in a boat and stick him in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and just be like, stay there.
Stick him on some little island.
Yeah.
Give him an esky for his laptop and a floaty bed.
Quite good.
Oh, that's just amazing. Hey, Remedy, he even drove over here too, man. And I was watching the video where you guys drive on the wrong side of the road. Now he's on the right side of the road, and I'm freaking out. I'm peeking through my hands to see. Oh, God, no. He's driving.
Just do the reverse to what you do here. It shouldn't be too hard.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. So long as, I'll spend a couple of days in the car with somebody else who's obviously a driver here already, and once you sort of be in the car a while and pay attention for a while, and you, like, you've already come over with the preconception of what you've got to do, you know, it's actually not that hard. Like, it's remembering when you come out of a car park that you don't start from the left hand side of the road. Like,
yeah,
my bad.
And I got to give him credit; he did do all right. I mean, he kept it between the lines. He did hit a chuck hole, but my tax dollars put that chuck hole there, so
hey, someone had to use it.
Yeah. So you got your money's worth out of that one.
Yeah, well, that's
it. Paul Shannon's like, it was a big one. I'm like, nah. Big ones break wheels, honey.
Yeah, they'll blow a tire right off the rim and bend the rim.
When the chassis snaps in half, then you got a problem.
Do you remember last week when you had a very sad show? I told you I had a transportation problem.
Yeah,
that was actually our car hit a rock, and the whole wheel was bent over.
Oh, wow!
And we were 100 miles from anywhere.
Yikes!
That's why I couldn't make it to the show.
Well, what did you do to get your car back? Did you have to have it towed?
Well, yeah, we had to call some friends to help us.
Yeah, they're Bulgarians, you know. They just pick the car up and just walk it back. So it's only 100 Ks, you know. Nothing.
Hey, all you gotta do...
Ask me the vodka, I pick it up myself.
All you got to do, and I learned this from the Chinese, is you take two long poles and you strap them underneath the frame of the car, and then you all your buddies get in front of it like a rickshaw and drag it home. Hey, I want a rickshaw because I want my wife to take me to the grocery store.
Shut up, hope she doesn't hear this podcast, do you?
Oh, she's
there for us to party with.
She will, and so when you...
Just be a big handprint and then like a...
Terminator's gonna come and ruin you, dude.
She will hear it, and whenever you see me, if I got a big old shiner, you're gonna know what happened. It was a rickshaw comment.
She says, "Will come out to meet me," and you'll be holding his eye. I'll be like, "What happened, dude?" You'll be like, "I walked into a door."
Yeah, yeah. I would. That's exactly the story I'd give.
I fell down the stairs. Dude, you've got no stairs in your house.
Just a bunch of angry doors. Like, yeah. Watch out for the doors, man.
The door hit him in the face. Hey. But Bev was on the other side slamming it into his head.
I got to tell you a funny story on door frames. One night, when I was, before Beverly and I got married, I was staying over there at her house, and it was in the middle of the night, and I was real careful trying to get out of bed, and because I had to go to the bathroom. And so I was real careful trying not to wake her up, you know. And I get out and I make this long arc around the side of the bedroom. And I'll be doggone if my face didn't slam right square into the door frame of the closet. Right? Shook the entire house. And she said she was awake because I woke her up getting out of bed. She saw the whole thing and she was over there laughing and everything.
There's nothing worse than when you're trying to be absolutely peaceful, quiet, to keep a loved one asleep, and you like just trip over 19 things between you and the bathroom and a few things over and
yeah, that's it.
And then you look back and they're still peacefully asleep. You're like, what?
She was over there laughing because she said, "I saw the whole thing. I don't know why you walked right dead into the side of the doggone door frame." But I couldn't see. I couldn't focus. It was too dark in there. And I slammed. Bow! Ah! Oh, yeah. Oh, well, back on the whole science world. You know, science is an amazing teacher, guys. And I'm sure y'all can agree. If you actually think about what you can learn from science, you know, you can take a circle of any size whatsoever, all the way down to as small as an atom, and you can get 360 degrees in a circle, and you can divide that 360 degrees up 40 times by 9. Did you know that?
Done now?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
with remedy.
It's pretty doggone amazing the things that you can learn from nature, you know. If you watch the things that nature does, there's when we can talk about photosynthesis, how a leaf actually separates the carbon from the CO2 that's out there in the atmosphere or whatever, the process that it actually goes through to create the sugar that is the food for the plant. They have literally made a solar panel using the closest representative of photosynthesis possible. Now they have solar panels out there that are flexible. You can roll them up in a perfect scroll-like deal. You know, that's how flexible they are. And you can put these inside your house, and off of the ambient light, they will produce electricity.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty costly to make, I'm guessing, though.
Probably so, and I don't know how soon they'll actually hit the market, but they're actually out there, and it's...
I think those are made by some kind of liquid crystal.
Yeah. But even that's amazing, because we were talking earlier about closed-loop systems. Imagine a closed-loop system to where you put one of these solar panels down, and the same light that you're using, you're basically producing electricity with. So you turn your light on, the panel's sitting right underneath your light, and you're charging your battery back up while you're using a light, because these particular solar panels will use any visible light. It doesn't matter what spectrum is it in. As long as it's visible light, it will charge the system.
So effectively, you may not be able to get a closed-loop, 100% efficient system, but you would raise the efficiency, because any photons of light that are not being used or absorbed would then be turned into energy to be reused. So it's like recycling.
Yeah, exactly.
Recycling the unused light in your house. Yeah.
But even if you're getting better efficiency, you know, that's still a plus. You know, it puts you that much closer to paying less of a light bill. If you got a doggone lighting system that'll put some juice back into the system while you're using it, this is what I've been saying all along. You know, like the wind power, you know. It don't cost you nothing. You throw a wind power up there. Once you paid for the wind turbine, you throwing that into your system right there. That's just supplementing everything. And that was the key to the whole deal was we know we can get wind. We know we can get electricity out of wind. We know we can get electricity out of the dirt. We know we can get electricity from the sun and so on and so forth. So using everything in your environment around you to supplement the energy costs that you have now, you use less electricity. So, you know, I keep saying this. If you can't find free electricity, you simply ain't looking hard enough. Because when's the last time you got a bill from the sun? You know? The sun ain't never sent you a bill.
We're an exceptionally wasteful organism, okay, aren't we, really, at the end of the day? We just waste everything. We don't look in the right places for things. We as humans tend to use brute force for everything instead of trying, like as Nikola Tesla said, working the wheels of our machinery into the wheels of nature.
And that's exactly what we need to do. You could try an experiment. Go out there. If anybody's got a compost heap out back, go out there and get you some thermocouples. Just shove them up underneath that compost heap, yep, and hook them to a voltmeter. Compost, yep, all put off heat. You know, you can heat water with it, you can produce electricity with it. And so while these like plants, vegetation, or whatever that you've cut your grass clippings or whatever, while they're rotting, they're producing heat. And so that heat will heat up that thermocouple, which will in turn produce electricity. And so you're getting energy off of waste heat. You see what I'm saying?
And I've also seen it used as a hot water service, because that is an exceptional
and,
amount of heat.
And you can actually generate natural gas with it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Methane, yep.
Well, just think of a septic system. Septic systems are going to produce methane, and so if you design your system properly, you can store that methane. You know, let it run for like 6 months, and the methane buildup will finally, start bringing the pressure of the gauge up, and then you'll have methane, and from that point on, it won't take as nearly as long to keep that thing full. You see what I'm saying? Nobody?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it sounds bad. You're using your sewage for fuel, but methane burns.
It's a pretty crappy idea, but it'll work.
Yeah, methane, propane. Yeah, it is a crappy idea. I think you just did a pun. Both of you just did a pun. See, the Australians are out to get us, man. It's a plot.
We will lull you into a false sense of security that we will take over the world.
Yeah, with one
sorry,
of them,
sorry,
with one of them,
I got the plan away.
With one of them Vegemite sandwiches.
I'll just you have to hook shizzes up with like a proper Vegemite.
I've got a jar of Vegemite here, man. I passed some around the house here the other day, man. You should have seen the faces. I did it for him, real thin and whatnot, so it wasn't overkill. There was some politeness, but man, I can read faces. No one liked it, dude. No one. Poor Dame Shannon, I think she gagged.
It's soft, maybe, huh?
So much salt!
Never thought of Vegemite as salt,
yeah. Yeah, hey, no, man, it's just Vegemite. What the? Just give me a teaspoon, stuff, man. I feel like it's Vegemite.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I mean, maybe that, you know, we should stop talking about it, you know, could be giving away the secret.
Well, don't tell me until you get here, because I got to try this out.
It's good stuff, dude. Yeah, don't go into it with the conception that it's horrid like everyone else.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
And you'll be able to tell if I don't like it. If my eyes poke out of my face like 3 feet, then I'm, you know, and my mouth goes like, you'll know I got problems.
That's all good. I'll prepare it for you. I'll like butter your toast and then slather on some Vegemite, nice and thin for you, and you can try it out.
Cool.
Just think like pure vitamins.
Yeah.
A slice of toast.
Just wonderfulness on bread.
Yeah.
You remember that 360 degrees we were talking about earlier?
Yeah.
It's incredible because there's a deal out there they call sacred geometry, and within that sacred geometry they basically go off of like a 360 degrees of a circle. And if you actually just take the clock that you got on your wall, you know, the ones that with the 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to 12 deal, you can take this clock right here and you can figure numbers out straight across. Do you have a clock in front of you? Anybody?
Yeah, I've got my watch. You showed me this, and it freaked me out. And I was like, "What's going on?"
I've got my watch, and I'm old school enough to have an analog watch. So,
all right. Well, you got the analog watch. Go, put your finger on 6 and look straight up to 12.
Okay.
From 6 to 12, 6 minus 12 is what?
6 minus 12 is 6.
Yeah.
Perfect.
What's 6 plus 12?
6 plus 12, 18.
Yeah, how many times will 6 divide into 18?
3.
Ooh, that's scary, man. All right, now look for 7. 7 to 5 is 12. 8 to 4 is 12. 9 to 3 is 12. 10 to 2 is 12. 11 to 1 is 12. And where do you end up between 11 and 1?
Mind blown.
Right there, brother.
12. Lucky I'm wearing my melting Rubik's Cube shirt right now.
Yeah, you can do this backwards and forwards and all different directions. You can calculate up all kinds of things. You can take a 360-degree circle, and you can take that 360-degree circle horizontal, just like the equator on the Earth, and then you can take it vertical, just like the poles of the Earth. And you can put all the 360 degrees in every direction all the way around that, and you can calculate within that 360 degrees any geometrical shape that you can possibly think of. Perfect 4D geometrical pyramid.
Yep. 10 to 4, 8 would give you a perfect square.
Yep.
What? We'll just pick out some randomness here.
8, 4, 12.
10 to 6 will give you a triangle. You can make everything up to a... Well, I don't even know. What's a 12-sided object called?
I'm not sure. You got an octagon, pentagon, hexagon. God, there's so many of them. But either way, my point that I'm trying to get is that if you take this down to the smallest point, like an atom, you can still do the exact same thing. You take it all the way up to as the biggest, roundest of the entire galaxy or mega galaxy or whatever, you can do exactly the same thing. Now, that is a mathematical wizardry of epic proportions.
Dodecagon.
Yeah, it's all in there. It's all in there. Every single bit of it is all in there. It's incredible. And so that's why I say nature is the most amazing teacher of epic proportions. If you pay attention to what's going on in nature, then that is the key to finding free energy. And so taking that doggone clock, I'm telling you, if you just pick up your clock and start tinkering around looking at that thing and figuring some stuff up backwards and forward, like if you was to take... 12 and 1, that's 13. Then
you're starting to sound like that girl from YouTube now, dude.
Yeah.
My brain's hurting.
Starting off from 12, if you go from 12 to 1, you got 13. From 11 to 2, it's 13. If you go to 10 to 3, 13. 9 to 4, 13. 8 to 5, 13. And 7 to 6, 13. Now, don't that just whack your brain in half?
My head hurts.
But I'm saying,
proof and listening to you, dude.
I'm saying the information has been put there right in front of you to tell you how the entire universe works. I mean, it's right there. No ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, if you can mathematically figure out any equation, you can figure out how anything in this world works.
Yep.
So why is it that as far as advanced as we are right now in society, we should be so much further? We should be like 40 to 100, maybe even 200 to 1,000 years further advanced than what we are in all kinds of technical portions.
Well, this is what happens when knowledge is suppressed and science theories taught as science fact and yep. not someone's best guess at how something works.
Well,
that's the box. That's the design box. And they try to shove them all in there, and this is where we're at.
It's amazing you said that, because if you take theory and faith, neither of which can be proved, because they all basically follow back to one singularity, way back to the Big Bang Theory. In the Big Bang Theory, they essentially say that everything came from a point in the time and space smaller than the atom itself, all right? And suddenly, pow, you know, it created the entire universe. And so, since nobody was ever there and was able to witness from there all the way up to here, nobody has the full story of how it all actually occurred. So you if you're living by faith, you're also living by theory. If you're living by theory, you're also living by faith, because the two are one and the same, neither of which can be proven in either direction. You see where I'm coming from?
No, exactly, mate. And you and I have discussed this plenty of times, haven't we?
Yep.
You know, until one side of that argument holds something in their hand, no one can say anything.
Yeah, and and so with that said, I choose faith on my side. You can choose whatever you want on your side, and you know, at the end of the day, when you try to explain it away, whether even if you were to say that aliens came down and genetically altered humans or like the Cro-Magnon man or the monkeys or whatever and created humans, then you would also have to explain where in the heck did the aliens come from. All of it, no matter whether you're talking science or whether you're talking faith, all of it relies on some magical instant at some singularity point in time that created the entire universe. And so with that said, if you pay attention to nature, nature has all the answers to every question that you got on your mind.
Yep, and let's remember that you're not a scientist unless you can be agnostic about everything.
Yeah.
You have to always remain open to the possibility that what you have recently learnt or learnt in the past is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be willing to that peer-reviewed, you know, work of art you worked on there for, you know, 30 years of your life, you know, you have to be willing to turn around and go, oh, heck, I was wrong. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, back to the drawing board, hey. You know, if you're not able to do that, you are, and I'm not even sorry, you are not a scientist. You're not a true scientist. You're someone who would prefer to, you know, keep the masses clouded, you know, just to save your own, save your face, save your, you know, what's the word I'm looking for there?
I don't know, but both of them are best guesses of what they understand by the information that has come to them, the perception, the beliefs from both perspectives. If you believe in theory, you believe in all the people before you who said that this is actually how it came about because of this. At 9 times out of 10, they got the same result, so they call it the laws of physics. But this one particular time, they got an anomaly that they couldn't explain. And so, regardless of whether you're going by theory or whether you're going by faith, you are going to follow yourself all the way back to a magical point in time where everything from what was smaller than the atom, the singularity, exploded and created everything that's around us. So by definition, both sides say it was a magical thing that occurred. You know, I mean, bam, suddenly here we are. But regardless of that, just by what I said about the 360 degrees, if you take an atom and you divide that atom in 360 degrees, the mathematics never changes through the entire deal. You put it up to any size you want, from as small as an atom to as wide as the entire galaxy, the universe, the megaverse, or however you want to. Nobody knows how big it is because nobody's been able to get far enough out to find out. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So with that said, even at that, what we can observe is that the 360 degrees stays true in that sphere all the way around, no matter which direction you go, from north to south, to east to west, up, down, sideways, crooked, or whatever. Throw in a zigzag, you might jack it up a bit, but outside of that, then...
You know, that's on a two-dimensional plane, and we live in a three-dimensional universe. So yeah. Even then, our math is wrong. You know, like...
You can,
it's all fine and dandy on paper, but when you want to put that into practice, You know, that's when you've got to go to, and this is where algebra comes in handy for all those young ones listening out there thinking doing school at the moment and go, hey, what do I never need algebra for? That's what you need algebra for.
Well, and let us not forget geometry. And so, you know, with that said, the whole purpose of me pointing all that out is that nature is so freaking incredible, so mind-boggling. I mean, if you repeat nature, you can do what nature does. All right. Now, I'm not saying, you know, we want to go out there and start creating humans, because I don't think that's a good plan. Yeah, you might get two or three of me, and that wouldn't be a good deal. I drive everybody nuts.
The world does a bad enough job of that with its current methods. Not a good idea to start making them in test tubes.
But I'm saying on the alternative energy side right there, you pay close attention to nature, nature will show you exactly how to get what it is that you're looking for. Because every single thing, even that picture that the painter painted, whether they know it or not, once you put that paint on there, it's not done. It ain't done. There's still atoms in there. There's protons, neutrons, and electrons in that paint. Even after that paint dries, it's still there. And so if you can take and disrupt that painting by maybe throwing the right frequency at that painting, you could actually get that painting to, maybe run down and run the painting or just sit there and vibrate, maybe even glow. Who knows? it's amazing that we ain't figured this out to this point. I mean, with all the brains out there in the world, that we ain't figured out that everything out there has a frequency to it. Everything out there has energy to it. And so with that said, if you want to tap into all the energy, all you got to do is put the right pieces of the puzzle together. That is the purpose why I said I don't want to overlook any anomaly that occurs even in the bogus free energy device. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, this, that guy that, Missouri Wind and Solar that did that deal, he's got that generator. There's a lot of things that actually went into that generator that makes that generator function. I believe you can make a closed-loop system, just like I believe that you can take some simple science like the pop-pop boat, and you can scale that up to a full-size model that will basically propel a boat with a full-grown man inside there.
Yep.
And so where do you think we can go from there, using virtual labs and all these minds from all over the world?
Up and beyond what anyone ever thought we ever could.
Yeah, and I'm thinking right now, we should be like a Star Trek, you know. We should be like Star Trek The Next Generation. We should be beaming each other across, you know, continents and stuff like that. We should have that technology.
Working off the history of things that have come to fruition being in Star Trek, we're probably not too far off, dude.
Oh, yeah. You take your cell phone, for example, like at least mine's one of those flip phones. You know, you flip it out. It looks just like that doggone communicator in Star Trek. So I'm going to beam myself over there and to Australia and grab Remedy and drag him back.
Hey, that's the way.
Oh, good.
I have to point out, Dame Shannon is beautiful. She just brought me in some Veggie Mike toast.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
I thought she hated that stuff.
She hates it, but she knows I love it.
Oh, well, that's kind of nice.
She's
a
good girl. Stuff.
She's awesome, huh?
Good stuff, the Vegemite.
It is, man. It is. She. I'll have to teach you how to spread it, though. She's got some, quarter-inch thick chunks on there, but...
Oh, my God.
I'm just like, broke off another piece of toast, and I'm just, like, spreading it around at the moment.
There we go. I'm fine, man.
So, where do we go to from here, guys? You guys ain't got any new updates on alternative energy side?
Well, I do have some good news on the maybe some good news on the atmospheric motor that we're putting together. I was talking to Dyden last night, Knight Dyden, and his wife actually has a whole battery of 3D printers at work. And so she's going to approach them and see if they would be willing to help out with the project and help us print them out.
Which brings me to plasma. Now, when you get over to my lab, Cultus, I'm going to show you something that you can see firsthand. That you'll definitely understand exactly what I'm talking about when you get here. But you can send a frequency through the air wirelessly with absolutely no ground whatsoever, and you can create plasma across the room. All right, now imagine if you took that same system and you matched it with the system that you just got through talking about, and you could get that system to run wirelessly across the room. All right, now everything's going to work on everything's going to work on wattage, like how many watts that you can pump into this system to send it out further. Like, you know, it's obvious, like a little handheld walkie-talkie will only go maybe a quarter mile because it doesn't have much power to it. But if we could put a power source strong enough to that system, you could literally transmit that frequency around a full 360-degree globe, and everyone who has the same exact system can use an inert gas such as argon to generate power that will turn a motor like the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's pretty doggone incredible, man. I mean, there's other ways to do it in your local short area, but I'm talking globally. You can literally produce a frequency that will not harm anybody or any living creature or even interact with them for that matter, outside of maybe you feel energized.
Yeah, the skin effect.
Yeah.
That's where you hit such a high frequency of the energy that basically it skips on the outside of the body rather than running through the body, which is how when you grab hold of 60 hertz or 50 hertz, which is what comes out of your wall socket, that's what kills you.
Yeah.
It's such a slow frequency. Frequencies, for those who don't understand, is basically pulses. So when we talk about, you know, 60 hertz, we're talking that power is basically pulsing 60 times in a second or 50 times in a second. Whereas when you get up into the kilohertz, like you're talking like, you know, 20,000 kilohertz, that's going so quickly, so short, so sharp that it's not able to actually penetrate your skin. It actually skims across the outside of your skin.
Yeah, and the only thing you could possibly feel if it was like in the least bit not tuned would be a tingle on your body from like somebody tickling you.
Yeah, and in that case, your frequency is still too low.
Yeah, and if you had it finely tuned, you wouldn't even know it was even there. It's like radio stations. When the radio frequency is going out there while you're listening to your favorite radio station, you don't feel anything outside of the sound coming out of your speakers. You don't feel anything, but it's there. I mean, it's going right through you. You don't even notice it. Going right around you. You don't even notice it. And the funny thing is, starting off in the center where the radio station is, it goes out in a perfect 360-degree sphere around. I mean, if you could go like a couple stories below that doggone radio station, you'd still get a signal.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool, huh? And so... go ahead, Mikko.
Actually, I wanted to tell something. I was doing some experimentation with spark gaps on my coil, and I was playing around with the spark, touching it with my fingers, and I think it helped heal one of my wounds on the fingers.
I don't doubt it in the least, brother, because I'll tell you, while I was out here doing my experiments with my coils, I was literally up for three solid days, hadn't slept or anything, hadn't even realized that 3 days had even gone by, and I felt just like I had 1,000 cups of coffee. I felt great. So, with that said, there has to be something to it. There has to be something to it.
Yeah, that's actually there's some videos on YouTube about electrotherapy.
Yeah.
And you can use actually electricity to warm up your body on the inside if you feel cold or anything.
Same way that that a microwave works in that respect.
Yeah, but it doesn't cook you.
Yes, yes, it's just not as strong. But they use infrared, don't they?
Yeah, something like that.
Again, light. Light is only a frequency. It's a certain frequency of the spectrum of all frequencies, you know?
And that's why I'm a firm believer that Dr. Royal Raymond Rife, that he was on to something there.
Yeah. Him and Tesla are my heroes.
Yep. Tesla had the same kind of experiences with when he was running experiments, was that he would have days that he wouldn't even eat or sleep or drink or anything, and he'd just be like absorbed in his work and just, you know, suddenly, dang, what day is this, you know?
Yep.
So, that everything out there, the universe, I mean, I'm telling you what, it's so incredible. We talked about 360 degrees all the way down to the smallest pinpoint you could possibly get, all the way down to the size of an atom, you know. Once you start looking into inner space, then suddenly all your laws of physics go completely down the toilet. You can't explain anything anymore because things are appearing and disappearing at random, and sometimes it depends on who's looking at it.
Yep.
So tell me that ain't cool, man. I'm just saying that you pay attention to nature. Nature has it all figured out. Everything's all situated, and, you know, we definitely interact with our environment. We definitely pollute on a ground level, but at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, If we get out of line, nature will kick us to the curb, man. It'll shake us off like a bad set of fleas and go on without us. If you ever want to get some sort of idea what it is I'm talking about, go out and watch that show 500 Years After Man. You can't even tell man was even around after 500 years because everything deteriorates. Everything is absorbed back into the system, and it's all part of the system again. And the system starts over.
It's amazing, you know, us as this current race of humans, we build everything in such a way that, you know, as you say, in 500 years it'll all disintegrate. You go back a few thousand years to, like, the Egyptians, and maybe even earlier than them with, you know, Stonehenge's and Easter Island and other formations that are out there. And I know if James Swagger's listening, he's sitting there rocking back and forth thinking about this. But totally, like, we don't know how to build things. We're a bit stupefied in that respect. Whereas there was a civilization on this planet at some stage that knew how to build things to freaking last for thousands of years.
And I would say that particular civilization paid attention to nature, because if you look at a rock will be around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years.
Exactly.
Because it's already in its natural form. It's a rock. And so nature isn't going to deteriorate the rock outside of maybe water rushing across it and changing the shape of that rock. But nature isn't going to deteriorate that rock because it's part of nature. And so they figured out they could build these pyramids out of the materials that come straight out of the ground, nothing synthetic to it, and these things would last for thousands and thousands of years. Look at the statues on Easter Island. You know, you could contemplate on whether the aliens came down and did it or man did it. Whoever did it, they knew that thousands of years after they put that there, it would still be there, because it wasn't made out of plastic. It wasn't made out of paper. It wasn't made out of anything that man took all the materials from the earth and combined. Because anything that nature doesn't like, nature will destroy, period. That's pretty doggone profound, man.
Yeah, you can see in places like Chernobyl and other desert places, everything started to break apart.
Yeah, and that guy that does the Monster Quest fishing deal, he went and fished over there where Chernobyl happened. You know, he was fishing there. He's still alive. He's not
pretty
dead.
Much fish for everyone.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think radiation causes a lot of cancer. I think it's a lot more man-made chemicals.
Well, you're right, Mikko, because here's how here's how cancer works. They say cancer's a virus, which is flat out ludicrous, because your body has an immune system. After so many years, your immune system will adapt to that and kill that virus. Anything that is biological, your body can destroy if it has time to learn that particular virus. Just like the flu, the bubonic plague, whatever, how I can't even pronounce it anymore. Just like any other disease out there known to man, how they put these antibiotics inside of you, or whatever, the little version of a dead version of the disease they'll put inside you so that your immune system can learn from it. How cancer really works, and Royal Raymond Rife figured this out, is that it is a synthetic material inside your body that your body cannot dissolve. Okay, and the easiest example to explain this is, if you take an oyster, it sits down there and it opens up and it closes and it sucks in plankton and it gets its food from the plankton. And as it's doing this process, if a fish comes by and flips up a little piece of sand inside there, or a wave or whatever, that little sand cannot be dissolved by the immune system inside that oyster. And so what happens is the antibodies inside the oyster begin to attack that piece of sand. They're trying like heck to dissolve it, but they can't do it. And so they begin to start coating that piece of sand up. They keep coating, because the antibodies know the sand is still there. It hasn't gone anywhere. It hasn't got rid of it. The job isn't complete. And so they will keep coating it over and over and over again until eventually you have what we call today a pearl. The same thing happens in the body. When you get a synthetic chemical in your body, like let's say a little microscopic piece of rubber, and somehow or another it works its way into your fatty tissues of your body, and your immune system begins to attack it. It can't dissolve it. It can't get rid of it, and so it will continue to start coating that up. The antibodies will keep coating it until it becomes a knot. And suddenly that knot becomes a life of in itself, because it is actually living tissue with inside your body. That living tissue will start growing even bigger until it gets to the point to where that mass is now pressing down on vital organs such as your kidneys or your lungs or whatever, that is keeping it from doing its job. And so eventually when the blood circulation is cut off from your kidneys, then your kidneys begin to fail. And so when they go in there and they try to do such as chemotherapy, radiation therapy, all they're doing is killing the doggone immune system at the same time while they're trying to destroy the growth of this mass. You see where I'm coming from?
Yep.
And so
yeah, they destroy everything but the cancer.
Yeah. And so with that said, you know, you'll have people who will go into remission because the radiation has destroyed the actual process by which the doggone antibodies are actually coating the synthetic that's in the body, and then you hear the word remission, where they actually start going back into the cancer again. Raymond Rife figured out how to take frequency and literally cause the particle by which it is causing the cancer to explode to such a small portion that it can be excreted out through the skin or through the waste portions of the body, you know.
It comes down to the opera singer breaking a glass with their voice, doesn't it? It's exactly the same theory, you know, that he was able to tune into a frequency that vibrated that disease's molecules to the point where it just disintegrated. It didn't explode or anything like that. To put it right in perspective, it disintegrated. It just broke apart.
And the key is nothing else around that broke apart.
Because it was the wrong frequency for that stuff.
Exactly.
Like your skin and your organs were fine because that's not their frequency. That was the frequency of cancer, or that was the frequency of, you know, AIDS or whatever it may be. And he was able to tune in and just pinpoint it and go, goodbye.
There
you
go.
And that was the end of it.
And,
you know?
And like you said, the good cells, because they're of a different frequency, every single cell in your body has a different frequency because of its particular mass. Everything out there has a frequency, no matter how you want to look at it, because it has electrons, protons, and neutrons according to our ways of thinking. This is how we explain what is in, you know, every bit of mass in the entire world. Protons, neutrons, electrons. But either way, those are like little micro mini universes that are floating around inside your body. If you could stretch yourself from here to New York, all you would see is little atoms buzzing around. You wouldn't see, you know, a body. You would just see that. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so, with that said, you're not attacking the good cell because it's not on the same exact frequency. You're only attacking the one that you want to attack. Yep. And so if you had a chart of every single frequency known to man, you did a test of every single frequency known to man, you would find frequencies that would literally pop your feelings out of your teeth. You would find frequencies that would literally set you on fire, or you would find frequencies that would literally make you feel like you were in love. Or whatever.
That's right. Yeah, that's the one I was just thinking about, is that there is certain, like, your brain runs on frequencies. That's how it communicates with itself. So if you're able to hone into a certain frequency, you can manipulate people's emotions by using different frequencies. So emotions, behavior, kill diseases, there is nothing you can't do with frequencies. And we know this, and the scary thing is we know who else knows this.
Oh yeah, and here's a prime example. When you're sitting next to your significant other, your soulmate, so to speak, the person that you fell in love with, there's going to be incidents where you answer her question before she even opens her mouth, and that's because you guys are tuned specifically on that frequency. You guys are jiving. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It happens.
It does.
Me and my wife do it all the time.
Yep.
Do you have something you want to say, Mecca? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, brother.
Like two Tesla coils.
Exactly. They resonate. That's what they always tell you. If you have the exact number of turns, then these two will resonate no matter how far apart they are. You could have one on the North Pole. You could have one on the South Pole. If these things are identical down to the last freaking atom, I mean, they're exactly the same length, exactly the same width, height, everything, the same number of turns. You could put one on the North Pole, you could put one on the South Pole, and when you resonate the one on the one side, the other one will ring like a bell. And if you don't think it's possible, then you
then build one and find out.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because we'll be back to that. If you don't think it works, if you don't believe us, then build it, try it, then open your mouth about it.
That's
but
right.
until you've given it a go, don't be all up in everyone's grill going, "Hey, man, that don't work." Because we know it does. Both Shiz and I have played around with this for quite a long time, so we understand that harmonic resonance plays a role. And when you say harmonic resonance, you know, it just comes down to the fact that everything is a frequency. So, and a frequency is sound. At certain what we refer to as sounds, the frequencies of sound, we are only really referring to what we can hear with the human ear, which is a very restricted bandwidth.
Yeah, because we're only capable of hearing so much, you know. Like,
what if you could hear light? What if your ear was able to hear light?
You'd probably go insane because it'd be so freaking noisy around you.
Well, though, if you were born to be able to hear it, you know, like they just worked out that I think it's dogs. Dogs can actually see in infrared. Or is it ultraviolet? Ultraviolet, I think it is.
I don't know, but both dogs and cats have a really keen sense of hearing, and they can they can send it around like radar, man.
Yep.
So learning from nature, I mean, that's how we got things such as radar. You know how you can tell that if you send a signal out and bounce it off of something by the speed of by which it comes back, you know how fast somebody's moving.
Dolphins. They're guilty of that one.
Sonar.
Yep.
Same thing.
Send a little ping out there and get it back.
Yeah.
Then you're able to judge its distance by and its density by how much of it comes back.
There's a blind guy.
Do the same thing.
And you can look this up. Hey. There's a blind guy out there who goes. He uses clicks. He'll click with his mouth, and he rides a bicycle and doesn't run into nothing.
No, it's just watch out for him when he's got a dry mouth.
Yeah, she's completely blind. Yet he is able to ride a bicycle and not run into nothing. That's incredible. You bypass the whole sight, And all you're using is hearing and noises to send a signal out to bounce off, just like bats, how bats basically fly around without running into nothing.
Yeah.
You know? So, if you think frequencies ain't got nothing to do with it, you need to start studying your science books a little harder. So,
yep.
Where do we go from here, man?
I actually had an idea at the beginning of the show. You see, light and radiation are basically the same, ionizing radiation. If you can generate power from light, you can generate power from radiation.
Oh, yeah. I was also thinking of that. A lot of this, you know, they have a lot of waste energy. They have all the so-called waste fuel rods or whatever from nuclear power plants. There's something going on there. If you're actually getting a radiation coming off of there that can affect the human body or whatever, which I don't believe myself because, you know, there's so much natural radiation going on in the world, I don't think that's even the case outside of the initial, blast, and suddenly you're exposed to the wrong frequency and it disrupts all your genes and everything like that. Or putting your face inside the microwave and turning it on, you know, that's obviously not a good plan.
That is not a science test you want to follow through with, just saying.
No, but why could...
in the microwave and turning it on, nuh-uh.
Why couldn't you put depleted uranium inside a coil and knowing that depleted uranium is going to continue to deteriorate, and as it deteriorates, it sends off of energy? Why couldn't you tap into that energy as far as electricity-wise? Why couldn't you put a whole bunch of coils down inside a barrel of depleted uranium and draw some energy off that? The faster you draw that energy off, the less that uranium is actually going to be any kind of danger or whatever.
Exactly.
Am I wrong?
No, you're right. You know, it's the same as why does the electrostatic motor work that we're going to be working on? It's because we're extract, like, okay, how does a lightning rod work? You know, the common misconception with a lightning rod is that it's there to be struck by lightning. No, a lightning rod is there to discharge the atmosphere before the energy builds up to such a point that it can break through the dielectric strength of the atmosphere and reach ground.
Yeah, and burn down your freaking house. That's why they put them on top of barns.
Stop it. Stop it from creating a bolt of lightning. So, you know, there is always energy floating around up in the higher atmosphere. Okay? And I'm just explaining this for those who don't understand. There's always energy floating around in the higher atmosphere. And air, or our atmosphere, is actually an insulator, and it's in this particular instance we refer to it as a dielectric. Okay? And what we get is basically an insulator between the clouds and the ground, and energy, electricity will always try to find its way to ground. Okay? Now it's controversial whether it's going from the ground up to the sky or from the sky down to the ground. I'm not going to play with that semantic, but it works in either reference. It's obviously charging up in the sky, hence why we put a lightning rod up into the air. But anyhow, you have the clouds are charging up the energy, and they will charge up until they get to such a large amount of energy that the dielectric strength of the Earth, the dielectric strength of the atmosphere, can no longer hold it back, and then you get a lightning strike. We put a lightning rod up in the air, and that runs into ground, giving a path for that energy that's building up in the sky to go to before it builds up. So you're effectively just letting it siphon off and letting it dissipate the energy before it's able to build up to such a point to break that dielectric strength. You've already broken the dielectric strength, and you let it run into the ground.
And so my plasma technology is essentially doing just that. I want to take and use that same thing that nature does, bring it into a vacuum, control the actual bolt of lightning, contain it within a safe area, and drain the energy off as fast as humanly possible in order to create, not have an overload created. So,
exactly.
That's what I'm working on. Anyway, yeah. I think it's time for a music break, so everybody stay tuned. Hope you're enjoying the Mad Science Hour. Peace and love.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion.
Enterprise, its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
That's right. You're listening to the Mad Science Show here with Shaziz and Mitko and Remedy and doggone, what's that Australian guy that just invaded the U.S.?
It's Cultus.
Yeah, that Cultus guy, man. You got to watch out for him. His driving skills, he's practicing. He's doing...
Come on, man. I did good. Why does everyone pick on my driving just because I drive on the wrong side of the road? Hey, there was no oncoming traffic. I was the right side of the road.
We got to give you a rash because I saw that video. Those Australians drive super fast according to that video because they were like, zoom, just screaming by the window screen of that that video deal going on there. I was like, man, those guys are hauling butt. Anyway... Oh man, it's an amazing world we live in, guys. Can anybody deny that?
No, most certainly not, mate. It's a wonderful, amazing world that we live in. Full of wonderful, amazing things.
Mitko, did you say something?
Yeah, I said it's a beautiful world.
Oh, it's wonderful. And so, you know, with that said, each and every individual out there needs to understand how powerful you really are, man. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. You think that you you don't have nothing to contribute in this world? You are so wrong. You couldn't be even more wrong. You know, with this virtual labs thing that we were setting up, if you go watch my virtual labs intro, I know it's long, it's drawn out, you need to skip past the first 15 minutes because of technical difficulties. But what I was trying to point out in there is, you know, right now we're talking to somebody in Bulgaria. We're talking to two people in America. One who used to be in Australia, and another one is in Australia now. Is Remedy still there? Or did he disappear on us?
No, he's gone.
Oh, man, he bailed out on us. He must have got bored.
Nah, he's got internet issues.
Oh, that figures. Yeah. Anyway, what I was trying to point out is that, look, you know, with virtual labs, we'll have the opportunity to solve a lot of problems and build a lot of things, you know, right out of the gate, instead of going around doing all this, you know, hopping around YouTube trying to find the best design or the best information. We can. It's right there. You know, you got a question. We know somebody who knows the answer to that question. What do you think, Cultus?
Yeah. Well, you know, in like what we've said 100 times before, isn't it, mate? That, you know, each and every one of us holds part of the key.
Yeah, it's a 500-piece puzzle, man.
It is, and where each individual one of us is one of those pieces. And at the moment, we notice, like, you know, just in the work that we're doing, that we are coming together in that fact. Like, each one of us is bringing something to the table. I mean, the things that Dyden, who hopefully be on the show tomorrow, has brought to our attention, you know, and... Just as one example, you know, I was talking to him last night, and it turns out his wife has a battery of 3D printers at work. Now, whether or not, you know, we're going to get to use them or not on this atmospheric motor project or not is still to be discussed. I'll be discussing that on Monday with her boss, but hopefully that comes to fruition. You look at Mitko, you know, he's only 16 years old. And that kid blows me away with his knowledge of, you know, nuclear science and other things. And you yourself have a grasp. You are able, like me, to bend your mind around the way the universe does work, whereas most people can only read from a textbook and grasp it in that fashion, you know. Like, each and every one of us comes to this table and has something to add into the project, you know. Not a single one of us is going to be able to do it alone. Like, none of us are Tesla, you know. We may not have the ability alone to be able to achieve it, but together, each one of us picks up and fulfills the fault that another one has, and together, we have the knowledge. We just have to... You know, we're all respectful of each other. You know, this is number one. What we say about, you know, scientists, how they just want to cut each other down and not want their theory disproved because it means, you know, learning something different or having to rewrite their thesis, you know. That is not how science is done. Science is done by saying, oh, am I wrong? Oh, that's all right, dude. How does it really work?
Yeah, and you're supposed to try to prove your theories wrong. You're supposed to try to do everything you can to disprove your own theory. And so with that said, you know, what you were talking about, if you take one cog out of any machine, one gear out of any machine, the machine just doesn't function. And so if you put all these machines together, all these brilliant minds from all over the world, you can understand things like what I was talking about here today, about the whole circle, 360 degrees. You ought to take, seriously, take and examine that for a bit. Look at your clock and look at all the different correlations. Yeah, between like straight across from 9, there's 3, you know. And if you take 3 from 9, you get 6, and then you drop down to 6. You go from 6 straight up to 12, and minus 12 is 6 minus 12 is 6. I mean, it goes in all different directions, all the way around that full 360 degrees. So something in this world was mathematically ingenious, nature. You know, if you want to call it nature, you want to call it divine intervention or whatever you want to call it, something was smart enough to put the mathematical equations right before your very eyes so that you could figure out everything that it is. Every question you ever had can be answered. It's there. It's all there. All the information we need for alternative energy and free energy is there. The only key that we need to remember is that I can't do it by myself, but with you, we're 2 times stronger. With the next guy, we're 3 times stronger. With the next guy, we're 4 times stronger, and so on and so on. You imagine 1 million people on this planet working together towards the final outcome of taking all the anomalies that are in every single alternative energy devices, even now the ones out there that don't fully function, there's still some reason why they believe that that thing could possibly work. You take that one reason, match it with my one reason, match it with your one reason, and so on down the line, you got that 500-piece puzzle slapped together in no time at all. Am I wrong?
No, you're dead on, mate. Dead on.
And so that's what we're hoping to do with virtual labs, man. I mean, I'm telling you guys, we have an opportunity of epic proportions. We're going to be hindered. We get hindered all the time. People, they interrupt our broadcast. They troll us out the eyeball. And if you don't think it's true, then go out there and try to do it yourself. Go out there and try to create a broadcast of yourself, of your own, or get on YouTube and start trying to put out information that you know is true and whatever, and see how much you are interfered with. It's a fact. Folks out there do not want us saying what it is that we're saying. So regardless of how they go about their ways, regardless of what they do, we continue to keep on doing what it is that we're doing. We get more people involved with all these different radio networks, and we keep sharing information, and we just go it alone. You know, what more can I say, Cultus?
Well, mate, I think you pretty much said it all, didn't you? Like, you know, we've been through this. At the end of the day, you know, we just have to keep plugging on. We have to ignore the naysayers, and we have to rise above the mistruths that are out there, and you know, the misinformation that's handed on a silver platter to everyone to try and make us look like fools, and
Well, Virtual Labs is going to take that whole make us look like fools thing out of the way, because we're literally putting it on the table. We are literally putting up or shutting up. We are actually giving people the opportunity to see real time these experiments happen. And so with that said, you know, hey, you can't fake it if it's right in front of your face, right? You know, I know there's magicians out there that can do, you know, this, but if you got thousands of eyes looking in on you, how are you going to fake it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Yep.
And
when you got trained eyes who are quite used to going around and seeing, you know, people that like to defraud, then, you know, things are going to be a lot more awkward for those who do try to defraud. And you know, oh, look, I've got a free energy device. No, you don't. This is what you've done.
Yeah.
And you know, I see the batteries inside the coil core. Yeah.
Anyway, we're down to it, and it's time for Beverly's Hope Show. So everybody out there, stay tuned. And anybody got any last words? Metco, you got anything you want to tell the world?
And if it's us versus them, we have the backup of the universe. We have science under us, which backup forces. They can, we can do something which I don't know how to call them, maybe government or however you want to call them. We have the backing up of the whole universe to do that what we want.
I agree, and we don't ask for permission, we just do it. What about you, Cultus?
Yeah, mate, I don't think I could have said it any better than Mitko. You know, we have the universe to back us up. We have the knowledge, you know, like the lightning rod theory I just put forward before, you know. Perfect example. It's there. Free energy exists, and no one can deny it. And we are set to prove that it is there for you all to capture, you know. And on that note, we're running down the wire here. Make sure you pop over to my website, which is cultus.weebly.com, and you'll be able to see links to my YouTube there with all the videos of me traveling across to the United States. And you'll also find a link there for Creativity SG, which is Dame Shannon's portion of the website there, and a link to her YouTube, where you can see some funny little outtakes and that of the girls getting prepared to come and pick me up from the airport. So with that said, peace and love to everyone, and I hope you all have a wonderful wonderful week if you don't tune in tomorrow for the Knights of the Roundtable. And
yeah, you better be there for the Knights.
We're both going to be there for the Knights tomorrow morning.
Whee! All right, with that said, it brought a tear to my eye to see Cultus and Shannon meet in the airport. It was a wonderful thing, and we got an Australian invasion going on right now, so every American out there, be prepared. So we're cutting into Beverly's Hope Show, so we're going to go ahead and roll up out of here, and I'm going to put a happy tune up in there, and everybody stay tuned. Check out that clock that I was telling you about, the 360 degrees. You're going to find some amazing things. Nature is a good teacher. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Whee!